Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
You guys, welcome back to another episode of Creative Source with Andy Osho, the podcast about creativity for the creative in you, no matter where you are on the journey. Starting out, coming back, mid-season. Listen, this could be your hobby or your life. This is the podcast for you. As always, you guys, I have to start with a Patreon shout out. Thank you to my Patreon patrons who have, over the months, supported this podcast and helped to keep the lights on, helped to keep the conversation going. I see you. And as part of the Patreon tier shakeup, I'm now doing shout outs for my Patreon patrons. Listen, first of all, I just want to say, I'm not sure if I pronounced Ciara's name right. So just in case, Kiara, is it Kiara or Ciara? Anyway, Kiara Jones, just in case Ciara wasn't right, which is what I said last episode. But also Paulie and I do, and Amber Patton, thank you. Thank you so much for supporting. I don't know what that... I don't know why I'm doing that noise, but thank you for supporting the podcast. And the thing is, you guys don't have to. And so it's a doubly appreciated act of generosity that you do. I'm just going to mention it. I'm just going to throw it out there that I'm still offering mentoring. So if that's something that is of interest, should I say, to you, then that's a tier two perk. If there are other perks are available. If there are other perks that you're interested in, also let me know. Head over to the Facebook group, Creative Source Network. You can message me there, or you can hit me up on the gram. If you're a patron and you like, I would like to level up, but what's on the next level? Is not for me, or there isn't a next level, but this is what would make me level up. Gee, you know what? Let me know. Okay, so. Listen, last week we talked about the benefits and the pitfalls of fame, and I really got into it with the pitfalls, didn't I? I mean, but there's a lot. I mean, because I saw this study that said that fame was the biggest ambition of 10 to 12 year olds. It was a study that was done in 2012, and it said that fame was the biggest ambition for 10 to 12 year olds. So, for some reason in our psyche, it's held as something really desirable. But when you really look at the pitfalls of it, it isn't what it appears at all. So we talked at length in that last episode about the benefits and pitfalls of fame. But this week, we're going to talk about navigating fame. So if it's happened, how do you navigate your fame? How do you navigate somebody else's fame, like a colleague, or the fame of someone that you've met? But first, I just want to say, if you would like to be Creative Source Famous. What? And get a Patreon shout out, basically. All you need to do is head over to Patreon, link in the show notes, and you can sign up to the opening tier, which is like £5.43. I do know why I did the 43. Anyways, I'm not going to get into it. All I'm going to say is you will get that and access to exclusive content if you sign up to the opening tier. On the second tier, you'll get that, but also a signed photo and access to mentoring, 3 mentoring sessions with me. So either way, either tier, you can become Creative Source Famous. Whoa. Right, so let's talk about navigating fame. Now, when we're talking about the benefits, we talked about, oh yeah, cool, lots more work offers. But I also touched on, I think in the second episode also, talked about how sometimes you can be offered work that is not actually going to progress your career and actually could hinder it. Sounds very vague and abstract. So let me get specific. If you're an actor and you become famous, you might get offered to do something like a celebrity talent show or to present something or whatever. These things ultimately will be detrimental to your acting career because casting directors will look at you and go, oh, are you a presenter? I don't think that would really work to... have you play this role. They wouldn't say those words to you, but that would be a thought that they would start to have. And the more like celebrity type stuff you start to appear in, you know, a celebrity bake-off or a celebrity, I don't know, scrap heap challenge or, do you know what I mean? The less likely that will work to support your acting career. It will change people's perception of you. And unfortunately, it will devalue it. And that's not a judgment on those things. They are what they are, but this is how the industry currently is. And I think it's a shame because it actually makes it really tough for some people because acting work doesn't necessarily always come in, or if it does, it only pays you a certain amount. But yeah, it's almost like the industry expects you to somehow sustain yourself without going to these well-paid but celebrity-based jobs. Now, that's specific to the acting world. There may be a version of that in your space as well if you become famous in your field. You will notice that there's a lot of well-known actors won't appear in certain things. Like Stephen Graham is never going to do Strictly. Not only because maybe he doesn't want to do it, but also it would brand him in a particular way. So one has to be careful not to... Once you get some fame, you have to pick and choose jobs and work offers that will add value to who you are and what you're offering rather than take away. That's ultimately what I'm getting at. And it's also in your interest to manage your expectations around fame and what that can give you. Because even though I mentioned the benefits, and it's not an exhaustive list, none of these things may happen. You may not get any of those benefits. You may not get great work offers. You may not get endorsements. You may not get to work with people that you really want to work with. And so one of the important things is to manage your expectations. And also that working at a particular level, you might encounter a lot more assholes. Because at the fledgling stage, people generally are quite nice. But as you move up the food chain, as it were, more egos get involved. It becomes a lot harder to navigate interactions because you have to now account for these egos of people who are also famous or whatever. And it can be quite unpleasant. I'll just say this about my experience of events where there's a lot of celebrities. I find them quite intimidating and not necessarily hugely enjoyable unless there's a lot of people there that I know. I don't particularly enjoy them. And what I've noticed is that there's a lot of nervous, insecure energy. Who's here? Who's looking at me? Do I look good? Am I going to get photographed? All that sort of energy is there. And so it makes the event not necessarily always pleasant, especially if the reason that you're there isn't to do with a project that you're involved in. You know, if you're just there as a guest, then you're set dressing, essentially. And a lot of the whole celebrity world is smoke and mirrors. Like, it's almost like you have to show up at these things. You have to look a certain way. You have to do your interviews or say certain things. Oh, I'm so happy to be here. I'm just excited for all the nominees and, you know, whatever. And then you just want to go home and take your heels off or take your makeup off or take your wig off or take that uncomfortable suit off. So a lot of the whole thing is smoke and mirrors. It's just a big game and it's not real. But when you're looking from the outside in, it does look real. Another important part of navigating fame is being humble. It's so easy to think it means something about you. And certainly, I think that probably if you're going to get fame, then you may go through a sort of a douchebag phase, like early doors. Do you know what I mean? Where you actually think you're the big I am because something's happened and you just have to work through that stage. I remember on a very small scale, I was starting to get first TV work as a stand-up. And I was so vain. I remember like doing this interview and it was a talking head show and I kept sort of stopping in between takes. I kept like adjusting my makeup and I was being a bit shitty, actually, if I recall. Maybe the people wouldn't say I was, but I felt like I was, in hindsight, looking back, I feel like, yeah, I didn't like how I represented myself. But it's a stage you have to go through, I think. Not everyone will, because maybe some people are more secure in themselves. But I think certainly the insecure person in you wants to feed on the, oh, now I mean something, now I'm important or something. So it can be very easy to indulge. I'm just being honest, guys, it can be very easy to indulge an aspect of you. Again, as you move through the stages and you have knockback after knockback and rejection and life happens to you, you realize the smoke and mirrorsness of it all, but you also realize that humility is going to serve you very well because you're not owed this. You don't deserve it necessarily. It's just a gift that happens to have come into your space. And so you tend to get humble, not in a Trump kind of way. Like, I'm the most humble person you'll ever meet. It's like literally like the opposite of being humble. And on that note, also, you can start to think, ooh, I'm famous, like people care about what I think. Well, be careful what you put into the world in terms of what you say on socials and interviews. You know, when I was doing stand-up, I put a lot of like funny tweets, comedy tweets or whatever out there. And a lot of them do not age well or have not aged well. So I just deleted it all. Start again, because now I can put out into the world where I am now without people going dragging through my historical tweets for something inappropriate kind of thing. Most likely they would have found it. And so I just deleted it all and started again. It's very easy to just run your mouth in interviews and just think because you're famous now, you can say these things and people care about what I think. So you say them, not realizing that stuff is on the internet forever and people will go back to it and say, especially if you name people, they'll go back to it and go, oh, you said this about blah, blah, blah. Which leads me to my next point. Be discreet. If you're going to talk about something, somebody or a project, my recommendation would be to not name names if you're not going to be complimentary. Don't say, oh, I saw this show. It was called da, 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 and it was crap. And so-and-so was crap in it. It's just not, you know what I mean? Like, that's trolling, basically, on a big scale. That's because that's trolling that's going to end up in a magazine or in a newspaper or on a social channel. So just be discreet. Your fame is a gift. And I really encourage you, if it happens in your space, to use it wisely. And you'll notice, I would say, as people get more famous, they become, I would say, more quiet. Yeah, you don't hear about them so much. Like, I always imagine Brad Pitt as my example. I don't know why, but I just think when I want to be a bit braggy or something, oh, this happened or whatever, I think, what would Brad Pitt do? Because I feel like he's like the most famous person in terms of as a creative. Well, certainly in my field anyways. What Brad Pitt, he wouldn't be braggy. He probably wouldn't mention it. He'd be very humble, I feel, and very sweet about it. And just very, like I remember going to a Q&A with Hugh Grant and he was like so humble. And I don't know whether it was an act and whether that's his way of coping with getting a lot of praise, but it was a real eye opener because he was just delightful, actually. And I feel like when you get to a certain level, it would be tacky to be braggy. And so those folks get very quiet about their achievements, and actually they turn their attention onto other things, more altruistic things, more often than not. But listen, why don't we have a bit of bite-sized advice and see what Philip East has to say on the subject of fame.
I think it's really interesting how, as we maybe get some success with our creative endeavours, we become something of a public figure. And that might be something that we're not used to at all, and something that we might not be very equipped to deal with. But it can be really helpful to maybe sit down and give yourself a little bit of time to think about where you want to place your boundaries when it comes to engaging with fans or members of your audience who very often are going to be people that you actually don't know at all and who only know you through the work that you're putting out in public. And I think it's okay to keep those boundaries quite tight so that you're protecting and preserving your private and personal life and world. And I think that actually just doing really kind of common courtesy things and being generally friendly on things like social media by saying thank you for a nice message or taking the time to like a post that someone has put up that is speaking positively about you or your work, and being encouraging of other people without needing to go so far necessarily as to offer a lot of time or a lot of your energy into helping people that you maybe don't even really know. I think just generally being friendly and polite will mean that you can hold really quite firm boundaries, but without ever coming across as unapproachable or standoffish.
That was Philippa East, author of Safe and Sound and Little White Lies, talking about basically fan interaction, right? I mean, we touched on that before, but what she said was really good advice, and it's important to have your boundaries in place, because we were talking about some of the pitfalls in the last episode of some of the lengths, I guess, that people go to have an interaction with somebody that famous that they really, really like. And so Philippa is saying that, yeah, a lot of times you're going to encounter people who you don't actually know, but that want to have some kind of experience with you. And that it's important to have boundaries in place around that so that you both can come away having had a good experience. A friend of mine was talking recently, well, a little while ago, but he was actually saying, oh, you know, he kind of misses the days of autographs, because now he was kind of joking, but the fact that you need to have physical contact with fans when you meet them, because they want to take photos, and that requires, you know, an arm around the shoulder or the waist or whatever, rather than just like, you know, signing an autograph book. And so, you know, when fame strikes, if it strikes in your neck of the woods, know your boundaries of like how you want those interactions to go. Ideally, you want to leave the situation both feeling good about what happened, because there's no point in having an interaction with a fan that leaves you flustered, but them happy, or them feeling hard done by, but you got what you want. Because we're talking about human interactions here. It's not really fan interaction, celebrity interaction. It's human interaction. And so how can you leave that interaction when both of you are whole? There are some people who don't do photos. Hugh Laurie doesn't do photos. He said, I'm sorry, I don't do that. But he's not rude with it. He just tells them that's how it is. Now, the person who asks might be pissed off, but in a way, because he's not being rude, because he's just saying what's so for him, the interaction's kind of whole and complete. I'm sorry, I don't do that. That's it. I don't do that. And so now he's free to go. Now, if the person wants to kick off about it, then they're making it ugly, because he's already said what's so for him. But you have to find your own way of navigating it. You guys, if you would like to support this podcast with a one-off contribution via Acast, then head down to the show notes, click on the link, and this will take you through to the Acast support page. Doesn't matter how big or small the contribution, this is all going towards keeping the lights on, keeping the conversation going, allowing this podcast to be cost neutral and make it available to lots more creatives. If you would like to share this podcast on your socials and let people know how much you're enjoying it, that too would be greatly appreciated. And by the way, everyone that is leaving Apple podcast comments and reviews, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It means the world. right, let's talk about working with famous people. Whoa, that's weird. Because sometimes you will end up working with someone who is famous. They may be globally famous, or they may just be famous in your field, but it makes you feel a certain way. Now, for me, I always feel a bit like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And it's such a hard thing to navigate because for me, I go into my head like I want to treat them like a peer, but it's so and so from the thing that I really love. I mean, on Curfew, we had Michael Biehn, who, he was Hudson, no, Hicks. I can't remember which one now. That was the joke in the film as well. But in Aliens and Terminator, he was Kyle Reese in Terminator. And he worked on Curfew and I met him and I had zero chill. I was like, oh my God, I'm so happy you're here. This is really important for me that you're here. And he just looked at me like, dude, what's the matter with you? And I was just like so embarrassed. And I had to like purge the embarrassment by telling somebody. It's like, oh my God, I carried the watermelons conversation with Michael Biehn. And they're like, don't worry about it. But it can be tricky to figure out how to be around a famous person that you are going to be working with or meeting. But a few things that I would say is to remember that they're a peer. So you can let go of any imposter syndrome type of thing. You're both there to do the thing that you've been hired to do. And your experience and quality of work is both valid. And often, especially with acting, famous actors may have a lot of tricks in their toolbox, but they're beginning again as well. And they have a lot of fears about, ooh, can I deliver? Do you remember I was talking about, you know, expectation? Well, expectation of the quality of your work can be a fear that a very famous person has, and that they could go into some, oh gosh, what if people think, oh, she's a fraud or they're a fraud? They're not as good as the media tells me or the award ceremonies tell me that, you know, so you're both there validly. Is that a word? You're both there because you're professionals and you're good. So treat them as a peer, respect them as a peer. I would also say be professional, like manage your inner fangirl and fanboy. Don't be me. Don't be me with Michael Biehn. It's a real fine line to tread in terms of enjoying somebody's work, as opposed to tipping into some sort of fangirl, fanboy sort of relationship with them, because that's not what they're there for. You know, listen for if it's appropriate. If you really want to take a photo, my thing would be not to take a photo unless it really, really works. Because when you start to get into a sort of a fangirl, fanboy mode, this space that you're in with them is a professional space, and it's a safe space away from all of that. And they may not want to have that type of interaction when they're in that safe space where you're at too. So be really mindful of, like, is this an appropriate time to take a photo? Sometimes I feel like if you wait a bit, like get to know them, do a couple of days work with them and just go, listen, it would really make my day after, you know, once you finish, could we grab a photo? Then that's kind of nice. But if like the first thing you do is like a photo with them, they're just like, who's this joker? Who am I working with? What situation is this? Because doing all that changes your status in their eyes. And it's fine if you don't mind that, but it may affect whether they would want to work with you again. You know, it may affect whether the producers would want to work with you again. I mean, I can feel I'm talking specifically around acting, but in your domain, there may be an equivalent of that where people are just going to be like, yeah, I would like to work with that person, but they got zero chill. So let's get somebody who's a bit more sort of appropriate when they're working with us. But also, you know, I was talking about this fangirl sort of fanboy thing that we can do. I think it is also really important, if it's important to you, to acknowledge that person and to feel like you can show your appreciation for the work that they've done, but it's got to be in an appropriate way. I want to read to you a post in that vein that Wumi Masaku posted following the death of Michael K. Williams. Now, Wumi is an amazing actress, British actress, British Nigerian actress, who was on Lovecraft Country, which I don't know if you saw. It's an HBO show that was available on Sky and Now TV. I'm not promoting it, but I'm just letting you know where you can see her amazing work. And of Michael's death, this is what she wrote. When I met Michael, I was starstruck and I tried to play it cool. He greeted me so warmly and gushed about how much he loved the scripts, how he loved Ruby, that was the character she played, on the page, how excited he was to see all the characters come to life, pure enthusiasm and appreciation for it all. He was so open. Then the one and only Miss Anjanou Ellis, another person whose work I greatly admire, walked in. Now in the presence of two alchemists, I tried to maintain my cool, which ultimately means I got real quiet. Without hesitation, Michael gave Miss Anjanou all her flowers with respect, grace, gratitude and love. So giving flowers means giving someone their respect, giving them their due, acknowledging them. I'll never forget it. Therein was my lesson in humility. Why was I trying to play it cool? Why didn't I instead tell them how much I admire them, like he had told her? Watching and learning from them and others was the whole reason I was blessed to be in that room that day. Michael's honesty and openness was such a lesson to me. Always give people their flowers. Be open and honest. And I asked Wumi if it was okay to read that. And hopefully in the future, she'll be on to give bite-sized advice herself. But as she's, you know, kind of busy at the moment, she said it would be okay to just share that with you. And I share it in the spirit of like, I've also tried to play it cool with folks and pretend, oh, you're just so-and-so, no big deal. And actually that doesn't work as much as being a gushy sort of over-enthusiastic sort of stan around them also doesn't work. But there's a way to do it with grace, respect, love, gratitude that acknowledges them, but maintains your status as their peer rather than a subordinate.
Hi, I'm Kelechi Okafor, and you're listening to Creative Source with Andy Osho.
Let's have our last listener comment on fame. So this is from Kat Hallam. She says, how have you handled fame? What do you love most about being famous? Do you wish you could have done anything differently? Kat, bless you. Again, like Erin, I think it's very sweet that you see me as someone who's had to handle fame. I don't think I've had to handle it as such. But for me personally, I think one of the things that I really am glad that I did was walking back from stand up, like stopping doing that, because I could see that that was leading to a type of fame or notoriety that I didn't want. I didn't want to become famous for that thing when I knew that I wasn't enjoying it. So now I'm almost like building from the ground up a career and therefore, I suppose, recognition for doing only what I love, only what makes me happy. I mean, there are some things, you know, there's some money stuff that happens that, you know, we've all got to do. But for the most part, I'm really satisfied with what I'm going to get known for now. Whereas before, I did feel a little bit like I'm backing myself into a something that I just don't want to be in. So that's the only thing I would say, Kat. Actually, it's not about not doing something different. I'm kind of pleased for myself that I chose to do things in a certain way, because even though it can look enticing, you know, fame at any cost, actually the cost for me of going down a road that I didn't want to be on was too high. So I'm really glad I stepped back from that. So guys, one last call out to become Creative Source famous. Get a shout out by joining the opening tier on Patreon, and you will get a shout out just as some of the other wonderful and generous Patreon patrons have throughout these shows and future shows to come. All right, you guys, that is the end of this week's episode on fame, talking about navigating your fame or somebody else's. Next week, it's probably going to work out to be a slightly shorter episode. We will talk about why people want to be famous and how we can use our fame for good and for evil. So as always, thank you to you guys for listening in, to Philippa East for the bite-sized advice, to Kat Hallam for the listener's comment, to Martin Lumsden for the post-production, to Clydesdale Music for the theme tune, and Anya Stobart for the marketing. Thank you, thank you, thank you to all my Patreon patrons. And until next time, keep living well and creating in gratitude.
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I hope you enjoyed that episode of Creative Source. If you're looking for more support with your creative journey, I'm offering one-to-one online mentoring.
Perhaps you want to launch a project but don't know where to start. Maybe you've got stuck around a certain issue, need some advice, or just want to bounce ideas around.
Whatever it is, I'm here. Just hit the Patreon link in the show notes or go to patreon.com/creativesourcewithandyosho to find out more.